Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Well, the Big 12 Conference is back where it belongs, and that is playing for a national championship in the NCAA tournament. Houston, Florida, Monday night. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Postens, our lead Big 12 basketball writer. We're HeartlandCollegeSports.com, where we cover the Big 12. We're glad that you are here. Make sure that you like the video as always. Subscribe to the channel, and same thing on the podcast. Well, Matthew, we made it. First time we're talking about one of our teams in the national championship since Kansas 3 years ago. Yep. How are you feeling about Houston's odds after that incredible Final Four comeback on Saturday?
Yeah, it's funny. After the game, some of the Houston players and even Kelvin Sampson likened it to that double overtime win over Kansas, which I think was in late January. So I went back and looked at their game after that, because I was just curious, how did they play after that game? They played West Virginia. Now, obviously, West Virginia's not Florida, but I think that game ended up being like a 66-49 final. So if you're talking about energy level, I feel good about Houston going into Monday night. There are parts of this matchup I really don't like for them, but the same went for Duke two nights ago. There were parts of that matchup I hated for Houston, and they found a way to figure out that game and figured out a way to win it. And, you know, right now they feel like the team that, as long as they're within striking distance at the end of the game, they're going to figure out a way to win.
Doesn't it feel too, and it's so cliche, but you've got a coach looking for win number 800, a veteran coach looking to get to the mountaintop, a veteran team, and you saw that play out on Saturday night where, listen, Duke may have had more talent at the top end. Cooper Flagg's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. But at this stage of the tournament, you cannot buy experience. And man, Houston has guys who have played together for years. That's pretty rare in today's college basketball landscape. And a coach who was in no way flustered in those final 8 minutes, whereas John Shire at 37 years old, I mean, he was clearly in a place that he had never been in his career. And I think that stuff makes a difference when you get to this stage of the tournament, no?
Yeah, I think when you have an experienced team on the floor that has really seen everything there is to see as a team, when you have a guy like LJ Cryer who's got a championship ring and understands what it takes to get to that point in the tournament, you face those moments like they faced on Saturday night, you know, being down double digits with 8 to play, being down 6 with 30 something seconds to play, and the things that they needed to win that game are things they're good at: defense, timely shooting, drawing fouls at the appropriate moment. Those are all things Houston's very good at. And in some ways that comeback kind of played into their hands. In some ways Duke helped them by giving them the things that they needed or putting them in the position that they needed to be in to make those plays. But that was the thing about those last several minutes of that game. I didn't see any panic at all when it came to Houston in those last few moments of that game. And I didn't necessarily see panic in Duke. What I saw in Duke was like you said, a young team that had not been tested a whole lot in ACC play because they were so much better than everybody else and had not been tested all that much in the NCAA tournament. And they just couldn't quite in those final moments do those little things that Houston can do to figure out a way to win the game.
So this game, I mean, the first question for Houston is, how do you stop Walter Clayton? What does that look like going into this matchup? They didn't really stop Cooper Flagg, but they won the game. So is it just keeping Clayton in check, or is there some kind of 48-hour turnaround strategy that you think Kelvin Sampson has thought through, considering he does have the best defense in America?
Yeah, I think Jay Wright said something after the game last night that I thought was really interesting. He said that when he was in those situations, he looked for teams that he had played earlier in the season that were good comparisons to the team they were going to play. In other words, if we played X team like this, if we play Y team, we'll be in good shape. And I think he actually kind of likened it to when Houston played Auburn in November. And if you saw the Auburn-Florida game, those were two really evenly matched teams that, you know, weren't necessarily mirror images of one another. But, you know, aside from Clayton, you know, Florida had a pretty pedestrian game around him. They had some good offensive balance. They did a good job of getting to the glass. But, you know, Clayton at times really took over that basketball game. I think for Houston, what, you know, Flagg had, like you said, Flagg had a good game. Knepel had a good game, but nobody else for Duke had a really good game on Saturday night. So It's almost like Clayton's going to get his because he's been averaging 24 points in this tournament. And I almost think win or lose, as long as he has a really good game Monday night, he might be the most outstanding player in this tournament. It's going to be about, you know, not necessarily stopping him because you're not going to do that. But it's about making sure the other guys around him who are really talented and have a really balanced offensive outlook don't hurt you too much. You know, I went back and looked at their stats for the season. They've got four guys that average double figures. They've got another guy that averages 9.9 points a game. They've got three guys who between them average about 20 rebounds a game. So they've got a lot of balance like Duke had. So you've got to make sure, I think, the other guys don't hurt you. If Clayton gets 20, 25, I think that's fine as long as the other guys around him don't have a big game.
Okay, I'm with you there. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, I'm looking at this game too, and I was like, all right, Florida, and we know this, they've got a great rebounding team, top 10 in the country in rebounding margin. That doesn't surprise me. I don't think it's as simple as whoever wins the rebounding battle wins, but I do think if Houston can get some key second chance opportunities here in this game, in what I don't think is going to be a super high scoring game. I mean, Florida probably wants to play into the 80s. They're one of the best offenses in the country. But if Houston can keep this game around the 70 point mark to win, that's probably where they want it to be, like on Saturday night. And that sometimes comes down to, as we saw Saturday, that one or two key offensive rebound or big board that you grab, you kick it out, you hit a three pointer. I don't know. It just feels like one of those games that it could come down to a big play like that at the end.
Yeah, and Houston excelled at that down the stretch on Saturday. I think in that last 8.5 minutes, I think they had 8 second chance points. So, you know, you're right about the rebounding margin in this game, and you're also right about the scoring margin. I really do think they're going to have to keep Florida around that 70 mark. I did the same thing for Florida that I did for Duke. I was curious about Duke's four losses. All of their losses were like by an average of them scoring about a 71.5 points. So Houston did a great job of keeping them right around their average in their four losses. Florida is different. In three of their four losses, they've scored at least 80 points. So it's not like, I don't know that Houston can keep up with them if they get to that 80 point mark. Their one loss where they just, you know, had a horrible game was against Tennessee. It was a 64-44 loss. And if you go back and look at that box score, that qualifies as just a bad night all around. I think Florida shot like 24% in that game, 14% from three. It was just the simple off night kind of thing for Florida in that game. And oddly enough, they've only lost one game since then, and that was the game to Georgia. In fact, Houston's last loss and Florida's next to last loss of the season both occurred the same day, February 1st. They've lost a combined one game since February 1st.
That is amazing. Now, 3-point shooting. Houston, and you and I talked about it last week. You said, hey, I think Duke's going to actually fire more of them up because they have all season. Houston has to be more efficient. Interestingly, Houston shot more three-pointers than Duke and was more efficient. They hit 10 of 22, 46%. They're now the best three-point shooting team in America. They know when to take them, and when they take them, it's a damn good look. Florida's not nearly as efficient a team offensively as much as they poured in. They want to keep that tempo going. Houston wants to slow it down and find the right shot. That, to me, is a fascinating storyline, and we may learn pretty early how the tempo of this game is going to go.
Yeah, Houston definitely doesn't want to let Florida get out and run. No. Florida lives in a volume world, which is why in those three of those four losses, they scored 80 or more points. In fact, they're lost to Kentucky. I don't know if this game went overtime or not, but they lost 106 to 100. So, I mean, they live in a world where they get up and down the floor. They get extra shots at the basket because they're a good rebounding team, because they're a good defensive team. They can turn you over. That's the world they live in. So Houston's going to have to find ways to slow that down. They don't want this to become a pace game. They can play that game in spots, but they can't play it for 40 minutes. And you saw even down the stretch against Duke, when you hear the you know, Grant Hill and Bill Raftery both kind of imploring, hey, you got to go, you got to go. Houston's still patient offensively. They're still looking for that right shot. And, you know, the great thing for them the other night, you know, you mentioned they took more shots from three. LJ Cryer had a huge night. I mean, he was consistently good for the entire evening from that three-point line. If he's good like that again Monday night, and maybe he can get a little more help from maybe a Milos Uzan, who did not have a particularly good offensive game on Saturday, or Sharp gives him a little bit more help from the three-point line, they're going to give Houston Florida problems, rather.
Yeah. He's Matthew Postens. I'm Pete Mundo. If you are just joining us, we are Heartland College Sports, where we cover the Big 12. Join us. Hop on the website, heartlandcollegesports.com. Join those free message boards and forums. No doubt they'll be active ahead of Monday night.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So, Matthew, let's dive into the Big 12 angle here. You got the Big 12, who is looking for now a third national champion this decade. Also, let's not forget, I think it's very important to note this stat. The Big 12 has had four different programs play in the national championship game in the last six NCAA tournaments because 2020 was canceled by COVID. So that's going back to 2019 with Texas Tech, Baylor, Kansas, and now Houston. You've got the SEC, best conference in America this year based on the metrics and the analytics. They want to take over that mountaintop from the Big 12. To me, that's a fascinating kind of underlying story here. The Big 12 trying to basically hang on to that hierarchy in college basketball, and the SEC trying to, I believe, take it away from them.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention the piece that I did some research on today. I think if Florida were to win on Monday, it would be the SEC's first title, I believe, since 2012 when Kentucky won.
Yes.
So, as great a generational season as the SEC has had, and let's be clear, I think this year, contained within this year, the SEC was the best conference in the country. Mm-hmm. They have not consistently been the best conference in the country over the past decade. In between Kentucky winning that championship, you've had Big East schools win. You've had Big 12 schools win. I didn't look at the entire list, but I know Villanova's won two in that span. Obviously, the Big 12's won two in that span. UConn's won two or three in that span. I think North Carolina won a couple in that span.
UVA.
So UVA won. So, this is one of those moments for the SEC where you don't want to say rah-rah Big 12 or rah-rah SEC, but the SEC has set itself up to be the best conference in the country this year. If you're the best conference in the country, theoretically, your best team should win the championship. I think we can all agree that Florida was the best team in the SEC, at least for the last month and a half. If they lose this game, I don't know that it diminishes the regular season, but it certainly says, I think, to everybody else out there that when the chips are down, the conferences that have been there over the past dozen years, like the Big 12, the Big East, even the ACC, find a way to get it done on this stage, unlike the teams, you know, in the SEC.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'm sure that, you know, we will get Florida's favored by a point. My guess is a lot of the national talking heads are going to be on Florida on that bandwagon. And I understand it. We know the basketball they played the last month and a half. But can we not? I mean, if Houston wins on Monday night, is this not potentially the toughest path to a national championship ever? When you talk about Gonzaga, the best eight seed based on the advanced analytics ever, you then talk about what? Purdue in that Sweet 16, which was just, I mean, in their backyard, right? I mean, in Indianapolis. Then you get through Tennessee. Then you get through Duke with the number one NBA draft pick. And this final four, these final four teams this year, based on what was it? Was it KenPom? They were four of the best 10 KenPom teams ever or something like that.
In the history of the KenPom rankings, yeah, all four were in the top 10.
So, I mean, if they beat two of those, along with the teams they beat leading up to this final four, this may be one of the toughest stretches, if not the toughest stretch, a team has ever had to go through. And yeah. Houston also has lost one game since December 1st, and it's to Texas Tech by 1 point. And you and I talked about it last week. It's not getting enough attention.
Yeah, and I think of the four teams, Houston was the only one who went through their bracket chalk. In other words, they faced 16, 8, 4, 2, and then they faced a 1, and now they're going to face another one.
Yeah.
I think the only team that has beaten three number ones to win a national title, I think Arizona did it when Lute Olson finally won his title. I think they beat three number ones that year because I don't think they were a number one seed themselves. So, yeah, I mean, it's been an extremely tough road for Houston. And you know, they don't get attention for a variety of reasons. I think that maybe the biggest being that they don't have a Cooper Flagg. They don't have a guy who's a surefire lottery pick that everybody's paying attention to when it comes to NBA scouts. They have a collection of really good players, a couple of whom I think can play in the NBA next year, that know how to play well together, have bought into everything that Kelvin Sampson has been telling them for years, knows how he wants them to play, are extremely well connected, especially on the defensive end, and they just know how to rise up and make things happen in those big moments. I mean, this is a big night for Houston. I mean, we talk about the matchup and everything. We talk about the Big 12. No team has been to the Final Four more than Houston and not come away with a national title. This is their seventh opportunity for a Final Four. They haven't played for a national title since Hakeem Olajuwon's days. You know, they went to the Final Four in 21, but they lost, I think, to Baylor in the semifinal. So, I mean, this is a big night for Houston. This is a big night for their program because I remember after the Southwest Conference fell apart and they didn't get into the Big 12. I mean, they went off into the wasteland, Conference USA, Mountain West, American, wherever they ended up. And people don't realize that they were not like an original member of the Southwest Conference. They were actually in the Missouri Valley for a long time. They were independent for like 25 years, and then they finally joined the Southwest Conference in like 1975. So when they had that big run under Guy V. Lewis in the 60s with Elvin Hayes, they were an independent program. They were not affiliated with any kind of a conference. So they've had a hard road just in terms of getting into a conference, staying in a conference that can help them sustain basketball success. And they weren't necessarily at rock bottom when they hired Kelvin Sampson, but they wanted somebody to help them level up, you know, kind of like, you know, what Scott Drew's done at Baylor. Honestly, it's a different sort of, it's not an apples to apples comparison, but they wanted somebody to get them back to the five slamma jamma days in the 1980s. And Kelvin Sampson has done that, and he's done it his way. And he's done it with a group of guys that, quite frankly, are kind of the antithesis of the five slamma jamma teams, but it works. And it works for them. And if they win a national championship on Monday night, I'm not going to be on Twitter talking about the Big 12. I'm going to be on Twitter talking about Houston because they deserve it.
All right. And I'll talk about the Big 12. You talk about Houston, I'll cover the Big 12. That sounds like a plan. That's great. Well, listen, this is an awesome matchup. I think it's one of the best matchups you could have gotten before the tournament began. You have two senior-laden teams. I mean, as much as Houston had the edge in terms of experience, they don't really have it in this game. I mean, Clayton's a senior, Martin's a senior, Richard's a senior. So where they do have the edge and experience is, of course, with the head coaches. That is indisputable. But I will give you my prediction first. In the Duke game, I said Houston 75, Duke 71. Not bad. I'm going to go with a very similar score. I will go Houston 74, Florida 70 in this game. And you know what? I think it does come down to the final few minutes. They can't dig out of a 14-point hole in this one with 8 minutes left. I'm not going to make that. They can't do it in this game against this team. But I like the way this Houston team is playing. It does feel a little cliche to say team of destiny. But with where this unit is at right now, with Cryer and Sharp, the health of this team right now, Uzan and the way he's playing right now, even though he didn't have a great game, he still is a trustworthy guy with the ball in his hand. You've got four guys, maybe five, that you feel like can step up in a big moment. for this team. So I'm going to pick the Big 12 team. I'm going to go Houston 74, Florida 70 on Monday night to win the national championship. What about you?
Yeah, I think I don't recall what the exact score was in the preview, but I had Houston by a point. I think I might have been 72-71 or 71-70, something like that. I mean, this is not going to be a game where you might see some big lead swings throughout the game, but this is going to be a game where I think the last 5-6 minutes of the game, they're going to be neck and neck. They're going to be up against one another, and it's going to be, you know, team that makes the last big play, especially on the defensive end, you know, wins. And I feel like Houston right now, they seem to have great timing when it comes to those kinds of things. When it comes to those one or two plays that you need, I mean, we even talked about Joseph Tugler, who got a technical foul,
horrible
reaching
play
over the baseline. I don't think he meant to do it. It just happened. And right after that, he makes up for it with a block on the other end of Knuppel, which I think started this whole road to them winning that game. And then when they got the steal, and Wilson took the three and he missed it, Tugler was the one who dunked the ball down to make it a 1-point game. I mean, you talk about a redemption arc right there in the middle of that game. And I think it actually kind of embodies what Houston is all about. They shrug off the mistakes that they make because they don't make very many, and they move on to the next thing and they find a way to make something happen. And that's just, I just think that's the intangible factor in this. I really feel like both of these teams offensively, defensively, they're very even. And that's when it comes down to the intangibles. And I just feel like Houston's going to find a way to do that one thing they need to do to win this game at that critical moment.
There you go. All right, Matthew, it's going to be fun on Monday night. I can't wait. I'm excited for the Cougars. I'm excited for Houston fans. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the amount of love and support outpouring from just Big 12 country for the Cougars on Monday night, I have not seen something like this in a while. It's just, it's an easy team to root for. It's an easy team to like. And Kelvin Sampson shouting out the Big 12, his fellow Big 12 coaches on Saturday night, was a big deal. Not a lot of coaches would have done that. And Kelvin Sampson really has shown a great amount of enthusiasm, leadership, and respect for this conference in year two. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think he's right in what he said. You know, going 19-1 in the Big 12 helped prepare them for this. Because remember, they went to the Final Four in 21. They were in Conference USA. That was a really good team. But, I mean, Baylor just kind of took care of them. I mean, Houston wasn't ready for Baylor's physicality overall in that game. Baylor shot really well. Remember, Baylor back then, they had four guards that could just defend the heck out of you one-on-one, including Jared Butler, Adam Flagler, and Davion Mitchell, who is one of the best defenders in the country. And you know, Kelvin Sampson's always known that he wants his teams to have a physical identity, but it wouldn't surprise me at all, because shortly after that, we learned Texas and Oklahoma were leaving for the SEC. And then a few months later, we learned that Houston was one of the teams that accepted the invitation to come to the Big 12. Kelvin knows what the Big 12 is about. He was still smarting from that loss a few months earlier. Wouldn't have surprised me at all if the day he found out they were going to the Big 12, if that light came on and said, if I want to win a national championship in this conference, heck, if I want to win this conference at some point, I have to make sure my team is equipped to play this style of basketball. And I think back to January of 24, when I covered their game at TCU. It was their first road trip in conference play. They lost to TCU. They went to Iowa State, lost at Iowa State, and since then they have lost, I believe, two conference games and one Big 12 tournament game.
That's amazing.
What this team is doing right now in this conference, and just their second year in this conference, is, I'll just say it, Kansas-level kind of stuff.
It is. It's been damn impressive to watch. We're all pulling for Houston on Monday night national championship game, Houston versus Florida. I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Postens. We're Heartland College Sports. Matthew, we'll be reading after the game, and we are looking forward to it, my man. Be sure to check out his prediction, written prediction, of course, at heartlandcollegesports.com. We appreciate you, my man.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
All right. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel right now on YouTube or on the podcast. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and share it as well. We are at heartlandcollegesports.com. The forums are open as well. They're free. And we'll talk to you soon. Go Cougars. Go Big 12. Have a great day.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.